You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
I want to talk about something today. What is the reason for the hope that is within us? Why are we in our faith in Christ? What is the end game that we're all looking forward to? You know, sometimes we get so caught up in the religious practices of Christianity that we forget it's about a relationship, about a soon coming king who's coming to gather his bride, his children, and take them to a prepared place that he's already set up for them. And you know, many people don't believe that Jesus is coming back again. Even today, even some religious circles, they say Jesus can't come back. You say, what you mean? They say, well, the heavens is the Lord, but the earth he's given to the children of men. And that's in the scripture. It is. But they're trying to say, well, they made us kings and priests. So if Jesus come back, we wouldn't be kings and priests. Come on now, let's leave all that stuff aside. We serve the risen Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of the Living God. You got to know who you are. You know you were created in the image of God. You know that you're in God's image and his likeness, that you are the children or the offspring of God. This is why when he deposited the Holy Spirit, he placed it on the inside of you. So now you got to understand that the power and presence of God lives on the inside of you. The moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible said you were born again. You and I, we had to experience the first birth in order to be a candidate for eternal life. The first birth is the natural birth. You were born here. You came by the blood and the water. This is how you came. But to be born again, you got to be born by the Spirit of God. This is what he told Nicodemus in St. John chapter 3. He said, verily, he said, marvel not, I say unto you that a man must be born again. And that word must is an imperative. It's not an optional thing. You must be born again. Unless you're born of the Spirit, he said, of the blood and of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That means you cannot even visualize God's way of doing or being right. You can't, the spiritual matters to you are foolishness until you're born again of the Spirit. In the meantime, you think it's just some weak-minded people who can't deal with reality, so they cleave to an invisible God and gives them solace and comfort. No. Jesus is alive and well, and he's coming back again. He made that promise. Because we don't understand who we are, we reject the very source of salvation that Jesus died to give us, to bring us back into unity, into oneness with God. See, this is what it's about. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. The Jews that were existing, the Pharisees back in the day, they used to claim Abraham for their father. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. Because if Abraham was your father, you would have known me. So the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. He said, pray after this manner. Pray, our Father, which art in heaven. So now we have a heavenly Father. And we're not saying that symbolically. It is true. You are God's offspring. You are the children of the Most High God. You are created in the image and the likeness of God. And Jesus said that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with him. Co-laborers together with God. We have an inheritance, but because we don't realize our destiny and our future, we forfeit a lot of things. We live way below our means and our abilities, and we accept less than what we should. The Bible says, there's a saying that says that if you settle for less than what you deserve, you'll always get less than what you settled for. And it's always been with us, and we've been content with nothing. I heard one mother say, I've done so much with so little for so long, I can almost do anything with nothing. That's not how God wants us to live. He said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It's above all I would that you would prosper, be in good health, even as your soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotion, prospers. And your mind needs to be renewed through the word of God. Because you never can identify who you truly are unless you look into the word of God and identify yourself. See yourself within the pages of the scriptures. And we're there. In John chapter 14, Jesus made us a promise when he ascended. When just before he ascended, he told the disciples, he said, listen, I got to go away, but I'm coming back again. When I come back, I'm going to come back to receive you to a place that I have prepared for you. See, in the Jewish tradition, by us being called the bride of Christ, when a man was betrothed to a wife after the marriage, before he even brought the wife home, he went and he built a room addition on his father's house. And then he would have a place to bring his bride. You know, we see the old tradition of a man carrying a woman across the threshold. These days, we see the women trying to carry the man across the threshold. Our men have forsaken their place and their role. Not all of us, because he's here, I'm here, y'all here. But a lot of our young men, if you see now, they look at their circumstances and they succumb to them. Well, you know, they ain't nobody hiring out there. And, you know, I can't find no job. You know, when I came up, they told me, he said, if you don't have a job, your job is to go look for a job. And if you can't find one, make one. When I was 12 years old, I started out with a bucket and a squeegee and a sponge going through the neighborhood, seeing if I can wash windows. I messed them people window up so bad they had me doing everything else but washing windows. So the windows looked better before I got a hold to them. You know. But they saw the ingenuity. They saw that me wanting to get out and do something. So they would have me, well, come and clean the garage out or come and move some of these weeds out of my garden. Whatever it is, they would still try to give me something to do because they saw that I was willing to work. Back in the day, they used to have this movie, the Dobie Gillis show, and they had somebody named Murnard G. Krabs that hated work. Whenever they missed work, he said, work! You know, that's someone that played Gilligan on Gilligan Island. He hated work. He was a beatnik. Well, we got a lot of our young men today that think work is a four-letter word that curse at you. You know, they don't want to hear about work anymore. You know, and it's a shame because we have so much potential and so much skill that's on the inside of us. All of the greatest inventions that America uses were created by a black man. Lattimore, light bulb, telephone. Listen, Alexander Graham Bell, his assistant made the telephone, but he took credit for it. The coupler for the train, we made that. The stoplight, we made that. Blood, that was blood transfer. What's his name? Drew. Charles Drew. What about the peanut man? Culver. And so we've got so many things. And what was that black woman that they extracted her DNA and found all the, yeah, what was her name? But it, I mean, all that comes from us and they know it. And so the best way to keep you empowered is to make you lose your identity as to who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, you're never inspired to be. You're always settled for whatever description somebody gives you to be. So in John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, starting at verse 1. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You know, there's a lot of things that were going on in that day. Jesus was the leader of the 12, and they had their hopes in him. All of Israel thought that he was the Messiah. One on Palm Sunday, when he made that triumphant entrance into Jerusalem through the east gate, they laid down their palm branches and their clothes, and they cried, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. And that was a prophetic entrance. After that, that east gate was closed. It's not going to be open again until Jesus returned in Zechariah chapter 14 when he land on the Mount of Olives and it's going to split in half. It's going to open up that way to the east gate and he's going to enter back in and sit upon the throne of his father David. Jesus is coming again. But what he told him, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my father's house are many mansions. You know, they got some translations that say rooms. You can have a room, but give me a mansion. You know, they got some people who are so humble, it's like humble. They deny what God said they can have. Well, I'll be happy just be a doorkeeper in the kingdom. You know, just, you know, that's like maybe a caretaker. No, we're going to reign as kings and priests with Christ. We're joint heirs. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're a peculiar people. He's going to set us over the works of his hands. Your future is so bright if you understood what God has planned for you. And this life, this brief experience that we call life, which is but for a moment, is only a test. And there's only one answer to that test, and it's Jesus. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all of your sins are remitted. You're forgiven. You're placed into the family and the household of God. There's no more condemnation. God lavishes you with all of the promises that he has planned for your life. And listen, he said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it even entered into the hearts of men, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And see, what I try to do is I try to create this image in the lives of our people so they'll see that this present life, which is but for a moment, this ain't it. This is just a test. Yeah, you may go through some suffering in this life. In this world, you're going to have tribulations. He said, but be a good cheer because he overcome the world. If you suffer with him, you're going to also reign with him. But you need to go through as a good soldier, not denying Christ just because of your circumstances. They told me when things get hard with the things. If it's hard, do it hard. Don't just succumb to your circumstance. Let your troubles be an opportunity for you to triumph, for you to get better and not bitter. Don't let what's happening to you affect what's going on in you. And that's the problem. We allow other people to define us. You know, how can you offend me if I know who I am already? If you call me something less than what I am, what you say has no validity. It has no weight in my life because I know who I am in Christ. And if I already know who I am, how are you going to change the image that's already been formed on the inside of me? But when I don't know who I am, my life is like soft clay and anybody can come and touch and form and shape and print me into an image that they want me to be in because nobody has your best interest at heart. Everybody's going to want you to only come up so far because they're not going to let you go past them. In school, when we were coming up, now you're a little young, Devontae, but when we were in school coming up, the teachers used to go around and ask all the kids what they want to be when they grow up. And if you inspired to be a lawyer or a doctor and you were black, they said, no, maybe a custodian, maybe a guard, maybe a mechanic. You know, you don't really have the brains to become a lawyer or a doctor. And we succumb to that kind of rhetoric. But really, we had the greatest potential of all, especially our young kids today. They come here like they already on another level. We got grandkids running around the house right now. We'd be amazed at the stuff and the sentences, structured sentences they put together. 2 and 3 years old. They get a cell phone. They already know how to use it. Better than I do. But this is where we are right now. He said, in my father's house, there are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I'm not lying to you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself so that where I am, there you may be also. What does this mean? Jesus, upon his ascension, promises the disciples that he's coming back for the church. He's going to come back, take them to a prepared place that he's already prepared for them. He didn't say that he was coming back for them to be with him. He said, I'm going to come so that you can be with me. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ is in two stages or in two phases. The first we call the rapture. The rapture is the pre-evacuation of the body of Christ before the 7-year tribulation hour takes place down here on the earth. This is why he said, I'm going to take you to a place I've already prepared. And see, the Bible gives us structure on how to look at this. Why? Because we have not been appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation. Now imagine this. You're married to a woman. This is your wife. And you say, baby, I got to go. But when I go, all hell going to break loose in your life. You're going to be threatened. You're going to be killed. You're going to be beaten. Matter of fact, while I'm trying to kill everybody else, I might get you by accident because you're going to be right there in the midst. What kind of husband would I be to inflict all that on my own wife? Understand? Or even if it was me, and because I'm considered to be the body of Christ as well as the bride of Christ, why would I hurt myself and cut myself and pull 21 judgments out on myself trying to get them? I bring a shotgun trying to kill a mosquito. No, that ain't how it works. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself so that where I am, there you may be also. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he came unto his disciples and told them he was going to prepare them a place. Like I said before, the old Jewish tradition was that the bridegroom would go and prepare the place to bring his bride. And when Jesus prepares something, it's going to be fully equipped. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews 9:27. The Bible says, it is appointed once unto man to die, but then to judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now that looking for him will give you always a state of preparation. It would allow you to live a life that is in readiness just in case Jesus comes. It don't let you get loose. It don't let you run out there in the street. No, no. It keeps you with conservative mindset because you know that Jesus is coming again. Now there's a parable over in Matthew chapter 25 about 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. I call them 10 church folks because they are all virgins. But you got some folks in the church that believe Christ is coming back soon. You got some folks that I got time. You know, they've been saying that, you know, where's the promise of his coming? This is what the scripture said that they're going to say. Where's the promise of his coming? Since the father fell asleep, all things continue as they were. You know, y'all been saying Jesus is coming since my grandmama died. He ain't came yet. I believe that. And so this was the mindset of half of them. Let's look at that story over there. Over in Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 1. He said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. All of them accepted Christ. All of them came into the church or whatever. You know, they took their lamps. They went ready to meet the bridegroom. He said, but 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps but didn't take any off. They had no expectation. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They didn't receive the baptism. They accepted Christ. They received the right hand of fellowship. They joined the church. You know, the right hand of fellowship don't save you. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ. And see, it's a lot of people who say Lord that don't mean that Jesus is their Lord. He said, many going to come in the last day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name, did we not do many marvelous works? And he's going to turn and say, listen, I never knew you because although you confessed me, your life was so raggedy. He said, you were workers of iniquity, practitioners of sin, pretending, wolves in sheep's clothing, seeking to take advantage of the flock. But he says, but the wise took oil in their vessels, verse 4. With their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried and slumbered, we've been waiting on Jesus to come about 2,000 years. While the bridegroom tarried and slumbered, at midnight a cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. This is Christ returning at the first advent, the rapture of the church, to come and get those who are looking for him. And that looking is a state of preparation and preparing. It's a state of always being on the watch, always being alert, knowing that Jesus could come right now. See, the rapture is thought of as being imminent. The imminent is not the same thing as immediate, but imminent means that it's going to happen and the event that's going to happen can't not be stopped. We may not know the day or the hour, but we know that his return is imminent, is near, is even at the door. Did anybody have to wait on a ride this morning to get picked up to come here? You know, you ever seen somebody waiting on a bus? They get out there on the bus stop early. They waiting on the bus. They can't see the bus, but they know the bus is coming. They got a promise that the bus is going to come. And if that bus don't come, you ever notice how they get out and they're looking way down the street trying to find the bus. But they don't leave the bus stop because they know, although the bus ain't here right now, they know that the bus is coming. And they know they can't get to where they're going unless they get on that bus. Well, see, a lot of people have to be that type of looking for the return of Christ. Now, you got some people who mock us with that. They say, oh, you just sitting around waiting on the rapture bus. No, the Bible didn't tell us to sit around and wait. The Bible told us to occupy until they come. And the word occupy is a military terminology. It means to take over territory, to occupy and to control like a military occupation. We do that for the kingdom of God because we're in a spiritual warfare. All right. So it's going on and it says here, and while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. He said, then all those virgins arose to trim their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil because our lamps are gone out. But the wise said to him, said, not so, but go and buy for yourself, lest there be not enough for both us and you. And afterwards came also the other virgin saying, he said, and while, verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready with him, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Then came also, he said, afterward came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said unto, and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. And that word know comes from the word, it's an intimate word, like Adam knew Eve. See, the door is shut. All these virgins now, we've consummated our marriage. He said, you, I don't even know. He says, I know you not. She said, what did it say? Verse 13, watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. You know, they have a story over in the book, Esther. When Esther had to prepare for one night with the king. You remember she had to spend 6 months bathing in oil and another 6 months learning the etiquette of how to meet the king. And just for that one night, and on that night, they gave her whatever she needed to go in to meet the king. You know, but she was kept under the guidance of the king's chamberlain. It was a eunuch who made sure that she did everything correctly and that she didn't leave the bridal chamber. She only went from the bridal chamber to the king's chamber. That's the only place she went. Well, in this case, they were all in the chamber, but those that did not have the oil went out. And see, they lost their time of purification because they were out in the world. And when that door was shut, only the ones who had remained, who were ready, who had the preparation, were able to go in with the Lord. So the rapture is going to be, those that are in the rapture are going to be those who are caught up to meet the Lord. And I believe those who have prepared themselves. And it's not so that you got to be perfect. Don't get me wrong. But you do have to have faith in him. You have to have faith in him to where you have already set up standards in your life. There's certain things you're just not doing. Because you just can't live like the devil and expect to inherit heaven. You have to be able to understand that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And there have to be standards that you live by within your life. And I know there's a lot of people caught up in situations they cannot change. People are caught up in human trafficking or caught up in domestic violence and stuff like this, is forced to do things maybe they don't want to do. And God understands that too. Understand, God ain't condemning the prostitute on the whore stroke. Guess what? Jesus' grandmother was a prostitute. Rahab the harlot. And guess what? His other grandmother, Ruth, she was a product of incest because she was Lot's daughter. And Lot's daughter went and had sex with their father, and they had Moab and Ammon. And so you see the body of Christ is made up from all people of all different walks of life to come together. David. He was a murderer and an adulterer, but it's all a part of the bloodline of Christ. So God is not asking you to be perfect, but he is asking you that your heart would be turned toward him. It says, let's go, matter of fact, let's go over to Isaiah chapter 26. Here's an Old Testament scripture, I believe, that also relates to the return of Christ or the rapture. Down at verse 19, he says, thy dead men shall live. When shall they live? We're going to get over that in a minute. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they rise. Arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For the dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people. This is during the tribulation hour. When the church is caught up, we're going to be taken into the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's in heaven. But what's happening on earth when the church is gone? He said, come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut the door about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a moment until the indignation be passed over. God's anger, his judgment that's being poured out, the 21 judgments during the time of the tribulation down here on earth. When Jesus himself said, it's coming a time such as never was, since there was a nation, no, nor ever shall be, a time of great tribulation. It's going to be the worst time that has ever existed on this earth. You don't want to be here. You don't have to be here. That's what the Bible is telling us. And those that are here, we're going to get into those left behind in a little bit. He said, for before, behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. This is during the time of the tribulation. That's not a time for the church to suffer the wrath of God. Revelation chapter 22 and 12. Let me go before I say that. I'm going to say that at the time of the rapture, the church will be in heaven experiencing the marriage supper of the Lamb and standing before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the rewards based on their service. Revelation 22 and 12 says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give unto every man according to as his works shall be." Do you know there's a reward for serving God? Salvation is not a reward. Salvation is a gift. But everything you do for the cause of Christ, there's a reward attached to it. And you say, well, what have I done? I ain't built no churches. I ain't went out and evangelized 1,000 people. Well, this is what counts with him. He said, "I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was in a hospital, you came and visited me. I was in prison, you seen about me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was cast out and you took me in." Say, "Lord, when do we see you in all these conditions?" He says, "Much as you have done it for the least of these, my brother, you've done it unto me." You want to do something for God? Do something for your fellow man. Be a blessing to those that are around you. If you see a need, try to fill it. The Bible says, how can you tell a brother, go and be warm and fed and you got the food and won't give him none? He said, how do you feel like, how do you think the love of God abides in you? When you got what it takes to change this condition and you just say, well, go on, my brother, can you go be all right? And you won't do anything to help him. So a lot of times, you know, we be praying, Lord, I don't need a lot, you know, just enough for me and mine, you know. And so all that's going to make you is stingy, don't want to share, you know, cynical. You know, but when you got the abundance, when you got the good measure, the press down, the shaking together, the running over, then you can give. And the Bible said, give and it shall be given unto you again. He told the rich young ruler, he said, the rich young ruler came and said, Lord, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And he said, you know, the commandments and honor thy mother and thy father, you know, love God. He said, Lord, all these I've done from my youth up, but what do I lack? Trying to justify it. And the Bible said that Jesus loved him. He said, go take what you have, sell it, give it unto the poor, and you'll have treasure stored up in heaven. He said, the young man went away sorrowful because he had much riches. He didn't understand the principle of God. Because like I said earlier, the Bible said, if you give, it's going to be given back to you again. He couldn't have got it out of the front door fast enough. He would have got it out the front door in one parcel. It would have came through the back door, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over in another parcel. He'd be trying to give it out, and the storehouse would be filling up faster than he can give it out. Why? Because he obeyed the principle of giving that God had commanded.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip in the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Tune in to Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson, airing daily Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. and p.m., and also heard each Saturday at 12 noon. Your love.